All right, happy Easter, and welcome to Northridge Community Church. I'm glad that you're here. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I just want to let you know that it's my hope and prayer that Jesus is alive in your heart and your soul, and that today you will sense His presence and His power, not only for today, but to help you in the days and the weeks and in your life to come. We're in the middle of a message series. Actually, today is the last week of our message series called I Am Jesus. We've been looking at the statements that Jesus has been making in the Gospel of John, proclaiming and revealing Himself as God, saying, I am the Good Shepherd, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, and things like that. And aptly enough, today we're going to look at His statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. So, a night last week, I was having trouble sleeping. And so, I thought I'd get up and just go watch a movie. So, I went and turned on the TV and flipped in the DVR to see what kind of movie was there to watch. And a movie caught my eye called World War Z. And as I hit the info button, I saw Brad Pitt was in it. So, like, Brad Pitt, I mean, you can't go wrong, right? So, why not? I mean, if it's bad, then at least maybe it'll put me back to sleep. But if you're not aware of this, Brad Pitt actually plays a United Nations investigator, Jerry Lane. And he is persuaded to go on a mission to help save the world because it has been plagued by a mysterious infection that's turning the whole human population into zombies. That's right. Zombies. I'm awake in the middle of the night watching a movie about zombies. Zombies are really popular these days, if you haven't noticed. And, you know, after watching the movie, I thought, you know what? I wonder what in the world a zombie really is, and where did that come from? And so I went on the internet, of course, and Googled it, and found out that it's actually something that came from Haitian culture. In the 17th and 18th centuries, it was started by slaves who believed that when they died, they would meet a man named Baron Samedi. And Baron would rescue them from the grave and bring them to heaven. Unless they upset Baron. If they did that, if they offended him in any way, he would make them a slave forever as a zombie. You didn't want to go wrong with Baron, otherwise you'd end up being a zombie. You know, as I watched the movie, I thought to myself, zombies are really kind of strange. They're walking dead people. How weird is that? And as I reflected on my life, I thought, you know what? That reminds me of my life before I met Jesus, because I was a walking dead man. You see, I was alive, but really, I was dead inside. I was alive physically, but for all intents and purposes, I was just a zombie walking around on this earth, just searching for something to bring me back to life. I felt dead inside. You see, sin has a way of infecting our lives and turning us into zombies. I searched for all kinds of things in my life to help get rid of that dead feeling that I had in my heart and my soul. Something that would bring me to life. I tried alcohol. I dabbled in drugs. I tried climbing the corporate ladder, thinking that status was something that would help bring me back to life. I tried improving my self-image by working out and being physically fit, hoping that people would notice. I tried to improve my self-worth by working myself to death. I focused on trying to make money and buying things, a nicer car, a nicer house, anything that would make me happy and get rid of that dead feeling inside. The problem was, the more that I tried, the more that I realized, nothing worked. Everything was temporary. Matter of fact, as I tried most of those things, I felt, you know what, they're really just leading me to feel even more dead inside. They made me feel worse. Romans 6, verse 16 says this: "Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? When you choose to sin, it leads to death." And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, it says, For sin is the sting that results in death. See, the things that I were trying, they weren't helping because they were sinful. Matter of fact, they were leading me down the wrong road toward death. And that's why I continued to feel dead inside. A zombie is a slave to sin and death. When we're dead inside, it's because we're slaves to sin, because it leads to physical and spiritual death. Well, today I have good news. Good news for all you zombies out there. Those of you who feel a little dead inside. If you're here today and you feel dead inside, for whatever reason, I want to introduce you to the person who can change all that. And His name is Jesus. Jesus is the one who gave me my life back. Jesus is the only one who restored my life, who got rid of that dead feeling inside. In our story today, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. They will live. They won't be dead inside." And when He said this, it was in the context of a story about three people who were kind of dying inside, and another guy who really was physically dead, but didn't stay that way. His name is Lazarus. The story is found in John 11, and it's about a family that lives in a small town called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. Matter of fact, whenever Jesus was doing ministry in the Jerusalem area, He knew that He had a place to stay. He would go and visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus and stay there. And they would provide for Jesus in many different ways. They became very close friends. And one time, while Jesus was out doing ministry, Mary and Martha sent Jesus a message saying, "Jesus, come quickly, because your dear friend Lazarus is sick." It was a call for help. It was a message to Jesus saying, "Listen, this is serious. If you really love Him, we need you to come here and do something about it." And the Bible says that even though Jesus loved them, He stayed where He was for two more days. And then after 2 days, He says to the disciples, "Okay, now it's time. Let's go to Bethany and see how Lazarus is doing." And the disciples look at Jesus and they go, "No way, are you crazy? Jesus, don't you remember the last time we were there, people tried to kill you and us? What are you thinking? Not a really good idea to go back there." But Jesus insists. He says, "My friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and I need to go wake him up." And the disciples just don't get it. They just say to Jesus, "Well, Jesus, if he's not feeling well, if he's sleeping, certainly he'll wake up and he'll feel better." And Jesus probably rolled his eyes and said, "No, guys, Lazarus is dead." So remember Thomas, doubting Thomas? He again expresses doubt in what Jesus wants to do, and he says, "Okay, let's just go die with him. If he is on this suicide mission, we might as well just follow him and die right along with him." In other words, "Jesus, you're just not thinking rationally. You don't know what you're doing. So we might as well just die with you." Let me continue that story by reading in John chapter 11, starting at verse 17. You can follow along on the screen. It says, "When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd only have been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." So what I want to look at this morning are three different characters in this story who were kind of dying on the inside. Thomas, Mary, and her sister Martha. Perhaps at this point in your life, some of you can relate to what they're going through. Or maybe at some other time in your life, you've gone through something similar to this. The first one is Thomas. He was dead or dying in his doubts. Again, he says, "Let's go too and just die with Jesus." Thomas was being a little sarcastic in his doubt. But let's just be honest. How many of us have had spiritual doubts at some point in our lives? This week I received an anonymous voicemail here at church from someone who responded to our postcard by saying, "You really don't believe in all of those lies, do you?" Our culture today is filled with many people who are filled with doubts. And even as believers, sometimes we have doubts. Maybe something bad happened to you or to a loved one that made you question or doubt God. Maybe you've been praying for something and God is just silent. Nothing is happening. All the things that you hope and pray for and still nothing. Maybe you had a friend or a class in college. Maybe you saw a show or a TV show or watched a video on the internet and now you're wondering if the whole God thing or Jesus is really for real. Maybe you're here today and doubt has you stuck in a dark place in your life. You're really not sure what to believe in, and so you feel dead inside. You're confused and not sure how to change that. Or maybe doubt isn't your problem. Maybe you're more like Mary. Mary was dead in her discouragement. In verse 20 it says, "Martha got word that Jesus was coming. She went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home." Imagine what it was like to be Mary. She probably thought to herself, "Why bother? He's dead already. Jesus is late. I don't need to go out there. He's already dead. There's certainly nothing I can do and nothing that Jesus can do now." Maybe some of you are here today and you've had so many things go wrong in your life. You're thinking to yourself, "I just can't buy a break." Discouragement is something that you wake up with every morning, wondering if that discouragement is ever going to go away. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage relationship. Maybe feelings of loneliness are overwhelming your heart and soul and you're discouraged, wondering if you're ever going to meet someone. Maybe you're struggling in your finances. And every month you have to worry about how you're going to pay your bills. And it's discouraging. Maybe you have a friend or a son or a daughter who is wayward and doing things that are just unmentionable. And you've been praying for them and hoping that someday they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it just is bringing you down and discouraging you. All of these things weighing heavily on your heart. You feel like there's no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Every day is filled with discouragement. You feel stuck in a dark place. You're really not sure what to do. You feel dead inside. You're confused and not sure how to change that. Thomas was dying with doubt. Mary was dying with discouragement. And Martha was dead in her disappointment. In verse 21, she said, "Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Martha doesn't have a problem expressing her disappointment in God. She's expecting that Jesus would heal her brother. But her hope was gone. She felt defeated and dead inside. Jesus, if you had only had come back earlier, if only you had been here to do something, then I wouldn't feel so disappointed and so discouraged. Have you ever questioned God that way? I have. Have you ever been disappointed in God, wondering why? When Jesus arrived, the Bible says that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Why does that matter? Why does John record this fact? Well, because in that time there was a commonly held belief that the spirit of a dead person would stay close to the body for 3 days, just in case there was something that could happen to bring them back to life. The spirit could enter the body and they could live again. It wasn't a biblical or a Christian belief. It was more like a story, a folklore, a tale that had been passed on. But John records that now it's been 4 days. In other words, according to Martha, there is no shot. No shot for her brother Lazarus to live again. No shot for her, and especially not even a shot for Jesus. It's too late. It's too late for even Jesus to do something about it. Chances are, there's a lot of us here today who have asked God a similar question. God, where are you? When are you going to show up, Jesus? If only you had done something, I wouldn't feel this way. Jesus, if only. Maybe your disappointment with God has you stuck in a dark place. Maybe your disappointment with God has led you to the place where you're not really sure what to do. You feel dead inside, and you're confused about how you can change that. So Lazarus is dead. Thomas freaks out. Mary's depressed, and Martha is mad and disappointed with Jesus. But I've got good news. Because Jesus changes all of that. He turns to Martha, and he asks her to show him the tomb where they laid Lazarus. And then the Gospel of John shares something incredible. It's the shortest verse in the whole Bible, but a powerful one. My favorite memory verse as a child. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. We're not just talking about tears trickling down his cheek. We're talking about wailing, fist pounding on the ground, crying for all he has. John says he was deeply moved and distressed. He was agitated. He was angry. He was upset. He wasn't angry or upset that his friend Lazarus has passed away. What he was angry and upset about was the effect and the consequences that sin has had on his loved ones. And Jesus comes to us today, and he wants us to know that he weeps. He weeps for our doubt. He weeps for our discouragement. He weeps for our disappointment. He's upset that sin has caused us this incredible grief. But the beautiful thing about it is that Jesus does something about it. He doesn't just cry about it. He does something about it. In the midst of all of that pain and sorrow, there's a glimmer of hope. I don't know if you caught it when I read it, but Martha has expressed just a little faith in Jesus. See, there's doubt and discouragement and disappointment all over the place. And yet Martha says, but even now, I know. Even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Even now, when there's absolutely no hope, even now, when everyone knows it's impossible, even now, when we all feel absolutely helpless, even now, Jesus, you can make a difference. Even now. Some of you need an even now moment with God. You have overwhelming feelings of doubt and discouragement and disappointment in God. But there's good news. Even now, all things are possible with God. Amen? Right? Jesus is alive. He is risen. And there's hope even now. Jesus responds to Martha's faith and he tells them to roll away the stone. And I love this. Martha says, "No, Jesus, do you know what you're doing? He's been in there for 4 days." I love what the old King James Version says. "He stinketh." It stinketh. Life can stinketh sometimes, can it? It's difficult. It's not easy. Some of us feel trapped in doubt, discouragement, and disappointment. We feel like we're trapped in a tomb. We feel dead inside. We've lost faith. We've lost hope. We don't have the strength to roll away the stone and walk out. But Jesus proclaimed to Thomas, to Mary, and to Martha, and to Lazarus, and to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live and never die." And Jesus calls Lazarus and says, "Come out." And he walks out alive, like a mummy, all wrapped up in grave clothes. And Jesus says, "Take the grave clothes off of him." Jesus raised Lazarus back to life. It was a picture of what he would later do by going to the cross and suffering excruciating pain, more pain than we'll ever have to endure in this life. He did it to take our punishment. He did it to take away our sin. He did it to give us His righteousness. And 3 days later, He rolled away the stone from His tomb and walked out alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus conquered sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "How we thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord." Remember the first part of that verse? I shared it earlier. Sin is the sting that results in death. But even now, thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thankfully, the cross is not the end of the story. We no longer have to walk around like zombies. We no longer have to walk around feeling dead inside because Jesus is alive. He's come to give us life. The stone has been rolled away, and now it's our call to take off the grave clothes and live like Jesus is alive in us. Listen, I've tried so many things in life to bring me back to life, to get rid of that dead feeling inside. And here's my challenge for you today. If you haven't given Jesus a shot, why not try? You've tried everything else. I've tried everything else and nothing worked. The only thing that brought me back to life was Jesus. Putting my faith and trust in what He did for me on the cross, and how He conquered sin and death through His resurrection to provide me with life. This Easter, if you have that dark feeling inside, if doubt and discouragement and disappointment is overwhelming your life, maybe even now, Jesus can do a new work in you. Jesus can provide you with life if you simply put your faith and trust in Him. Jesus comes to you today and He wants you to know, "I am the resurrection and the life. Believe in me and you will never die. You will live forever." I hope that this Easter will bring you back to life and put your hope and your faith in our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You. Thank You that You recognized the pain and the sorrow and the difficulties that sin has caused us. that you've seen our doubt, our discouragement, our disappointment, and it made you weep. And yet, you decided to do something about it. And you came here and you gave your life for us. Thank you. Lord, our minds can't comprehend how or why in the world you would want to do that for us. But we accept your gift by faith. We thank you for your grace and your love. And we pray that you would lead us. That you would roll away the stone from our heart and our mind and help us to walk out and receive the life that you give. In Jesus' name, amen.